All right, we're going to be in our final study tonight on the doctrine of angels. The first study I was going to do tonight was pretty self-well explanatory. That first sheet you have, the rank of angels, 10-7, they're pretty straightforward. There's one archangel, that's Michael, and then you have the chief princes, and then you have Gabriel, and it goes on from there. Lucifer, of course, many people believe, as I do, that he was an anointed cherub that was a high-ranking angel, yet he wanted to be like God, and he got thrown out. You got the cherubim and the seraphim that attend to the throne of God, the Ark of the Covenant, and on the mercy seat, and they mainly attend to the holiness of God right around the throne. And then the angel of Yahweh, we've taught this before, Christ, pre-incarnate Christ, several appearances, and on page 99, I got all those appearances in the Old Testament there. Angel of Yahweh, a pre-incarnate appearances of Christ when he took on human body and came down for a certain task. And there are all, they call Christophany, and there are all the times there listed. Then you got governmental rulers and different rankings of angels, and then responsibilities of angels. So we're going to skip that one tonight. You read it on your own. And we're going to go to page 101, the ministry of angels. It's dated 10-14 next week, but we're going to do it tonight. Okay? Everybody following me? Okay. What is the ministry of angels? What is their duties? What is their responsibility? Well, number one, ministry to God. Angels praise God, they worship God, they rejoice in His works, and they serve Him. They all ministries that we should be doing as the redeemed. And not that they can be redeemed, because, you know, Christ didn't die for the angels. They don't know what we know, but they certainly know how to worship God better than we do. And so they minister to God. Ministry to Christ, we have in the New Testament repeated occurrences where they ministered at the birth of Christ, His life of Christ. Remember the temptation of Christ? I look at Matthew 4. They attended to Him after the temptation was over. The resurrection, we see angels. At second coming, we're going to see angels. They attend Him at the rapture, the second coming, and they're going to separate the wheat from the tares, and they will gather the Jews into the land in the millennium. So that's their ministry to Christ. And then they also minister in different epochs, E-P-O-C-H, different ages, and the dispensation of God's working with man. Angels appear more active when God institutes a new age in history. Especially, I got some of those written down here. They praise God, and more. They were more involved at creation, the giving of the law. They were very active in the incarnation of Christ, and they're very active in the early years of the church, and active at the rapture and the second coming. So, angels are for today too, you know, but it's going to be more activity at the rapture and at the second coming of Christ. So that's what they do. Number four, they minister to unbelievers and nations, or ministry to unbelievers and nations. Angels meted out judgment to Sodom and Gomorrah, right? That was brought up, I forgot who it was that brought it up to me, about the angels coming down, inhabiting human bodies, and wanted to get to Lot's daughters. You know, and so I want to backtrack a little bit and say that angels can marry and they can procreate if they take on a human body, okay? But in the spirit, they can't do that. So that's it shows the depravity. We've gotten to that state in America where they were clawing at the door trying to get in and get Lot's daughters, or get to the man, the stranger that was there, they thought was an angel. I wish they had got a hold of the angel. I'd like to have seen a little bit of that. you know, and they would have got something Ajax couldn't take off. But so he offered him his daughters. That shows you depravity. So they mete out judgment. Angels judge Israel for idolatry. They'll mete out some of the judgments in the tribulation period, and they will be cast into the lake of fire by the angels in Revelation chapter 20. They protect Israel and seek to influence human leaders and human nations. There are different, I believe there are different good angels over different countries, just like there's different demons over certain countries. And we know that the demons are all involved in the false churches and false gospel and any kind of religion. Behind every one of those, remember, is doctrines of demons. And then number five on page 102, they minister to believers in the church, at the church. Remember we talked about Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And I share with you that phrase, heirs of salvation, doesn't talk about when we were justified, when we repented and believed. It's never used for that in the New Testament. It's the heirs of salvation. And he's not talking about believers who are yet to be saved. He's talking about believers who are saved, but not in heaven yet. Our salvation is not complete till we get to heaven. Although we're going to get there because it's complete, if you will. But our inheritance awaits us in heaven. And Matthew 18:10, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Now, it's interesting that, and it's ignored there, people just usually teach it as little children, and they got guardian angels. But the word in Matthew 18:10, little one, is talking about a new believer also. The context is offending a child or a believer. You see the scriptures there. Angels are always watching the face of God to be sent out to aid a child or a believer. You know, waiting to get their directions. They do whatever God sends them to do and go back to heaven for their next assignment. Not like that movie we saw. I don't forget the name of it again. Wasn't it John? Jimmy Stewart? No, it was It's a Wonderful Life. Now, I still can't think of that guy that was supposed to be an angel, his name. Anyway, he came down, was supposed to do something, and earn his wings. That's all, you know, that's all a myth, you know. And the only winged angels is the seraphim and the cherubim. And they're around the throne of God. Physical protection. We see this of David. They protected David many times. There's all the instances there. They'll protect the 144,000 and the Jewish evangelists and the tribulation. They'll be sealed till God gets through with them. And the physical provision. We know that angels gave physical nourishment for Elijah when he was weakened from a lengthy journey. And we know that, again, even Christ, they ministered to him when he went through the temptation in the wilderness. They give encouragement. An angel encouraged Paul in the storm and reminded him that he would arrive safely at Rome. You know, God had already told him he's going to Rome, preach in Caesar's household, right? But yet Paul needed a reminder of it. And they give direction, not directions, but direction. An angel directed Philip to witness to the Ethiopian eunuch. An angel arranged a meeting of Cornelius and Peter that brought the Gentiles into acceptance in the believing community. And they assist in answered prayers, especially in the book of Daniel. Remember his prayer for the nation of Israel was waylaid because the evil angels were interrupting, and we see that in chapter 9 and 10. an angel explained, was explained by God, by an angel, that God used angels to release Peter from the prison, right? Carry believers to heaven when they die. I like that one. In Luke 16:22, a plurality of angels. When I die, and when not breath, pneuma, spirit, when my breath comes out of my body, ask the Lord taking my spirit and soul. The angels are going to escort me into the feet of Jesus. And, you know, families gather around their loved ones when they're dying, but that's something they can't see in the spiritual realm. But they take believers into the presence of Jesus. And I told you many times that the reason for that is we got to pass through the air. Satan's the prince of the air. And God's going to make sure that we get to heaven. And now the other ones, they go to a totally different outlook. And so people, again, I mean, I'll stand by it to the day I die. We're not going to see Jesus until the rapture, you know, unless you die first. He's not going to appear. People say, and it's going to be a plurality of angels. Luke 16:22. Remember the story about the rich man and Lazarus? And in Abraham's bosom, which was the Jewish way of saying heaven. And that's going to be a great time when our spirit is dismissed and we go into the presence of the Lord. If you look over on page 103, they observe Christians. Of course, we know the Holy Spirit. We know God's watching us, you know, but angels are watching us too, and watching the church. 1 Corinthians 4:9. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to the angels, and to men. That word spectacle there means a theater. God has us on display before the angels, you know. We're trophies of his grace, and he's showing the angels his redemptive work, and the desire to know more about it. 1 Corinthians 11:10, for this cause ought the woman to have power over her head because of the angels. The angels are in submission. And the head covering in 1 Corinthians 11 is a symbol of submission. And in Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God is showing the world his manifold wisdom and redeeming a people. In 1 Peter 12, this is where they desire to look into salvation. Unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, that they minister these things, which are now reported unto them by them that have preached the gospel, and unto you with the Holy Ghost sent from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. They can't experience salvation. You know, they can't be redeemed. You know, not that they're sinners, it's just that God died for mankind. I was watching a show on TV the other day, and I just wanted to see how foolish the world is, and talking about some planet I never heard of that they think there's life on, and it showed an animated vision of going to this place and going down into the center of it and all this kind of mess, and billions of years old, and this, that, and the other. You remember that program we were watching, Faye? Well, you were looking at it with me, so I don't know. But anyway, it's you lost my track here. You're not going to get good Bible doctrine from Discovery Channel, the History Channel, you know, whatever, you know, it's always skewed. I watch the Weather Channel till they begin to talk about climate change. Now, I want to go on record tonight. I believe that the climate is changing, but it's not man doing it, you know, because this universe is winding down, you know. It only has a certain time to go, but we're not going to destroy this planet in 10 years because we drive SUVs, right? And you can smoke a cigar and smoke all you want to and have your whole family smoking, blowing it up in the air. That ain't gonna do nothing. You know, this universe is not made to last forever. And of course, you know, Biden said if he's elected, there'll be no more fires and floods and tornadoes and hurricanes. I don't know. You know, that right there proves he's incompetent, right? And then in Hebrews 13:2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. It says what it says, you know. We ought to be friendly to everybody because you don't know if it's an angel. But the one way you know it's not an angel, they're not going to come do anything evil. You're not going to have an angel come ask you for money to buy a pack of cigarettes. Are y'all with me? It's not going to be nothing like that. You know, it only takes a little common sense, don't it? I got that. I ain't got much sense. I got some common sense. And the word entertain means hospitality, and strangers means believers possibly undergoing persecution. In those days, the persecuted believers would come by homes, and they would entertain them, and they would bring them in, not entertain in a way of showing them the TV, but they would bring them in, and they would feed them and, you know, take care of them. And how many grew up with your grandparents used to have these houses with a room outside of the main house where strangers would go by and they could stay overnight? Y'all have that? Y'all remember that? Yeah, you got to be real secure in your people to do that. You know, but they had that, you know, far back as maybe our great grandparents had that. They'd have a house outside of the main house where they would come by and they'd stay that night. Y'all just trust me on that, okay? Yeah. And they made making sure that traveling preachers and Christian workers were taken care of. It is not an admonition to help everybody, right? Those who will not work or those who are in sin, we are not to help. You know, I'm not going to compromise there either. The Believer's Bible Commentary says that readers are urged to show hospitality to strangers. This might refer to primarily to believers who were fleeing from persecution and were hard-pressed to find food and lodging. To entertain them was to expose the host and the hostess to danger. The verse may also be understood as a general encouragement to show hospitality to any believers who need it, right? So there's always a thrilling possibility that in doing so, you might unwittingly entertain angels. This, of course, goes back to Abraham's experience with three men who were angelic beings in Genesis 18. Even if we would never have real angels in our homes, we might have a man or a woman whose very presence is a benediction and whose godly influence on our family may have results that reach into eternity. So that's what angels do. I believe in angels. I believe angels are real. But we don't want to make everything an angel. Like an angel found me a parking lot, you know, or a parking space, or, oh, they were an angel, you know. We use that like, you know, when people talk about your pastor, they say, he's an angel, you know. So, and that's my big beef, the same with miracles. We make everything a miracle. A miracle is when the natural law is changed, and the only way you can explain it is because it's supernatural, right? And so, so remember that, okay? With that, this finishes our study in angels, and next Wednesday we're going to pray for revival and for our preacher and for us, and then we'll get into the last part. The last teaching in systematic theology is the doctrine of the church, ecclesiology, okay, the doctrine of the church. And we're going to look at that, and we're going to see how far the church has gone from the way God set it up, right? Miss Linda?
Or this called off the woman after power only.
For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the, again, it's talking about submission. Whatever that head covering was at Corinth, we're not told what it was. You know, but just as angels are submit, we have to look that up. I just put it there because I wanted you to see that it was talking about because of the angels. Huh? Well, I'll bring that next week. Let me circle that right there.